The scripture reading for today is taken from Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 to 22. I am reading from the ESV. Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 to 22. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, and you shall never see again, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them. And a pillar of cloud moved before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness. And it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Good morning. Father, we thank you that we can come to you this new day, worshiping you. We pray this day that you continue to meet with each one of us as we grow to become your people. Help us to see, to know that becoming your people means trusting you in the uncertainty. We pray that you lead us forward, that we may see your goodness, to find the courage to press onwards for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We all have our Red Seas to cross. As you sit there in the pews, I'm quite certain that behind each attentive look, behind each posture that you are ready to listen to the sermon, it's a story of how the Lord led each one of you through the different storms and seasons of life. Disappointments, relationships, the results that you received, health issues, family problems, financial difficulties, or the feeling of just being lost and alone, even when you are so surrounded by people. These times can be overwhelming and isolating. These moments can leave you trapped and alone. The world keeps spinning, but you feel like you are standing still, disconnected adrift. These are the times where you feel utterly, completely, terrifyingly alone. You look around for a lifeline, for someone to throw you a rope, but all you see is this vast, churning, overwhelming obstacle, your personal Red Sea. And at that moment, the question becomes, what do you do? Where do you turn to? What do you do when you face that indomitable Red Sea? In today's passage, the Israelites have just left Egypt. Remember, last week we covered, after the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh said, Gao liao, go, you are free to go. And Israel, they were on the way to the promised land, but once again, Pharaoh changed his mind. He changed his mind to free the Hebrew slaves. Maybe he thought, oh no, what have I done? I have no slaves now to use and build the big cities. I cannot let them go. So Pharaoh chased them down with a huge army. The news soon reached the Israelites, and the mood of the camp changed. From an atmosphere of victory and celebration, the people suddenly became very scared. In verse 10, we read, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They feared greatly. They were terrified. They were scared. Fear gripped them. Because as slaves from young, they saw the power and might of the Egyptian army. And now this same powerful army is not fighting the enemies outside, but is chasing them. And to top it off, who was leading that army? Pharaoh himself, who was chasing them, leading the army. If the Israelites could speak Singlish, they would say, Jialat, Jialat, this time sure kena, no hope. Surely we will lose everything because we are no match for the Egyptian army. And then they did one thing that they knew how to do very, very well. They did one thing that they could do excellently well that SJSM don't know how to do. You know what is that? Very good. They grumbled against their leaders. They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? They looked at Moses and they said, what have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not what we have said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. They started complaining. Did they really say to Moses, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Do you recall the account? When you really look back at the account in Exodus, the people didn't say, leave us alone. Instead, they said, thank you, Moses. Thank you, Lord. In Exodus 4:31, we read, and the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction. What did they do? They bowed their heads down and worshiped. They gave thanks to God because he has heard and seen their affliction and they are about to be free. So they were joyful, they thanked God, but now they were blaming Moses. They were exuberant, but now they were desperate. They were terrified. And I wouldn't blame them because humanly speaking, there is no way out at all. In front of the camp was the raging Red Sea. Nowhere to go. Behind them were the chariots of fierce Egyptians. They can only stand shocked. What were they to do? They were simply hemmed in, you see. They were caught between a rock and a hard place, between the tyranny of the past and the impossibility of the future. So fear gripped their hearts. Despair threatened to engulf them. They were stuck between the army and the deep blue sea. What were they to do? They turned to God, they cried out to Him, and God gave them two words. Two words only. In Hokkien, three words. Titit kia. In English. Go forward. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the people of Israel to. Wow. Tell the people of Israel to go forward. God's reply is striking. So Moses went to the people and said, go forward. But the big question is, where? Can you imagine that scene with me? The big question is where? Because as the Lord said, go forward, nothing changed. The Egyptian soldiers were still pursuing them, and the raging Red Sea was still in front of them. Go forward? Go where? But to go forward means this, that the Israelites were to break camp. They were to round up all their animals. They were to pack all their belongings. They were to arrange themselves orderly, prepare to move forward, but they don't know where they will go or how it will actually happen. Logically, if you and I were there as good Singaporeans, advisors, we will say, don't bring your things, drop everything, because we need to prepare to either fight the Egyptians or to surrender. Say, come, I'll go back with you to Egypt, right? Either fight or surrender. But the call to them was to go forward, to keep pressing forward, to move on. So many times in our lives, the Lord also tells us to go forward, to move on, even though we cannot see how things can actually turn out. God is saying, continue moving on, even if you see that apparent big obstacle in front of you, that broken relationship, that sickness, that result, that pain, that retrenchment, your family, your children's defiance, your unreasonable spouse, your terrible bosses. Move on, even if the wounds are still there. Keep pressing on forward, even with the pain. Go forward despite the lethargy. Move on after that rejection. Move on forward, even without that promotion. Pick your things up and move on, even when you cannot comprehend or understand. Often when the problem is in front of you, we see no way out at all. We feel defeated. Like the Israelites, we start blaming people, blaming the leaders, blaming God. But I want us to see that oftentimes the Lord works this way. He doesn't magically or immediately make the Egyptian army disappear, but surely He can. Surely God has the power to do that. He doesn't make our problems instantly vanish, but He invites us to have faith and trust in Him. He invites us to press on, to go forward, to move on. Move on, the words in the NIV. Go forward in the ESV, when we cannot see His guiding hand. Do you recall how God led the Israelites through the desert? How did God lead the Israelites through the desert? We can do this. Through the, very good, the pillar of cloud. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Exodus 13:21, we read, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so they could travel by day or by night. And hear the words of Scripture, neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. It never left its place. Meaning from the time the Israelites left Egypt, that place of bondage till now, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire has always been that visible sign of God's presence with the people. Because they saw ahead in front of them a pillar of cloud. And at night, this pillar of cloud becomes that flame of fire. And this visible sign ahead of them was always there with the people. It was in the same place. There was that consistency. In the day in the desert, it is scorching hot. When you go there, you won't get suntan. You know why? You get chao ta, sunburn. The sand will be burning, your feet will be burning, the people will feel faint. But now there is a pillar of cloud in front of them, leading them. And scholars say, not only the pillar of cloud, it's a pillar of cloud, but it probably stretched backwards like that, so that it provides that shade for the people. This means that the people will not feel faint. The Israelites will be able to walk through and survive the desert. In the night, it gets so cold, freezing cold in the desert, no street lamps, no heater. So God provides a flame of fire. And this fire keeps the people warm. It gives light to the people. I want us to realize how important the pillar of cloud and flame of fire is. In the day, there is shade. In the night, there is light. Wherever the cloud moves, the people were to follow. And this was such a visible sign for the people that God's covering was over them. So I can imagine that when the Lord said to the people, go forward, the natural thinking is that they were to follow the... they were to follow the cloud. Follow the pillar of cloud. Because the pillar of cloud had always been in front of them, leading them, guiding them all this while. They looked for the cloud. But they were probably very, very shocked. I want you to see what happened at that moment in verse 19. Then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. This never happened before. The angel of the Lord, the pillar of cloud, has always been in front of them, ahead of them, leading them. But now it withdrew and went behind them. At this crucial moment, at the time when they need God's leading the most, when they need God the most, they look on ahead and then they saw the glory of God lifting up and going away, leaving them, departing from them. At a time when they needed God's leading the most, they visibly saw the cloud moving away to the back. If they could speak Singlish again, jialat lah. Surely the people will be scared. The symbol of God's presence moved from where it usually stood. It was as if the glory of God had departed from Israel. What happened? Why is it like that? Sometimes when we don't see God, we also think that God has left us. We cannot feel His presence. We just cannot see the Lord. We wonder, why is it, Lord, when I look on ahead, I lift up my eyes, I cannot see you. Are you punishing me? Why do you make me suffer? But church, we ought not to be too quick to assume that God is punishing you or me, or that He wants us to suffer. Because the angel of the Lord moved from the front to the back, He was not guiding them forward now, but He was guarding them, He was protecting them. He wasn't for that moment their son, but He had become their shield. In the next verse, we read the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them for what? Coming between the host of Egypt, the army of Egypt, and the host of Israel, the people of Israel. There was a cloud and a darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. So the Lord moved to the back and used the cloud at the back to provide a barrier so that the Egyptians could not attack the Israelites. He was protecting them. Herein, church, lies a spiritual truth. When you cannot see God in front, look behind. When you cannot see God in front, look behind. Look back and remember God's faithfulness in the past, and that will give you the courage and the strength to pick yourself up and move on. For you remember how David found renewed strength to slay Goliath? He looked back to God's faithfulness in the past. In 1 Samuel 17, David said, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." David looked back, you see, before he fought Goliath. He looked back and he saw that God had been faithful. And that gave him the strength to soldier on boldly forward. He was confident, he was so confident that the God who was with him, who was helping him with the smaller things, will also help him cross the bigger mountains. Looking back, church, gives you and I the strength to go forward. In my moments of pain, I look back and I remember the faithfulness of God. I like to take long walks, and in my long walks, I like to worship and sing. I'll remember how the Lord brought me through each hurdle and trial, and faith is strengthened through the tears. And I invite you to do the same. In moments when your tears cloud the vision of the cross, you look back and you remember the faithfulness of God. For it was He who picked you from that miry clay. For it was He who first called you by name. For it is He who rescued you and called you, "My child, I love you." You remember the faithfulness of God, and that will give you the strength to go forward. As a church, SJSM, we have so much to look back and to give thanks for. We see the fingerprints of God all over this church. I've shared before that each banner on the walls paints a picture of the faithfulness of God through the different seasons. How the bell was rung and the church had to raise over 46 million for PSW. And then the sum was fully raised in time. And the bell had to be rung again to announce that Tao Liao, enough. But we still need that, but... But enough was raised for the PSW. Enough was raised. So we had to say stop. Look back, and you and I will realize that the Red Seas we crossed with God's help yesterday will enable us to cross bigger seas, climb higher mountains for tomorrow. Our problem, church, is that we are just so forgetful. We are just so forgetful. The Israelites, as they grumbled, they forgot. They forgot about God's faithfulness. They forgot to look back, and it happened so recently, about how God delivered them from the 10 plagues, from their slave masters. They forgot how powerful their God actually is. So when you and I, when we meet our Red Sea at a seemingly dead end, when we cannot see God in front, look behind. And don't stay behind. Look behind and press on forward. For God is never far away. He has never and will never leave you. We look back for this reason only, to find the strength to go forward. We look back to find the strength to go forward. And this is how God operates and works. He invites us to take the leap and step of faith to go forward. The Israelites were to go down into the Red Sea without the usual pillar of cloud leading them. This was to be an act of faith in between the raging wall of water on the right and the raging water on the left. The Israelites were to cross on solid ground, on dry land. But God could have saved the Israelites in so many other ways. God could have continued leading them visibly as He had always been leading them, but He chose to move the cloud to the back. God could have intercepted the Egyptians when they mounted their horses, or stopped the Egyptians before the Israelites could see them so that they don't need to be so scared. But God chose to stretch the faith of His children. It was as if God wanted the Israelites to go down by themselves into the Red Sea as an act of faith. I want you to know that the parting of the Red Sea was not an instantaneous event. It's not like in the movies or the cartoon where Moses plants his staff on the water. And then suddenly, the waters just part like that. It didn't happen instantaneously, you know. In verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night, the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. It was a slow process. The pillar of cloud was there in the day. So they were there from day, and now it stretched all the way to the night. And all that night, the wind blew against the water, you see. There were many, many, many hours of painful waiting. And the movies really don't do the text justice. If it is all instant, then there will be little need for faith. Don't need faith if it's all immediate, you see. It was Charles Spurgeon who said this, that God never spoils his children. He educates them for nobler ends. He takes visible guides away from them that they may exercise faith in him. So I've said this, and I will always continue to say it, that it is not a smooth path that we should be expecting, but a life of adventure with this God who loves us. Each step of faith with the Lord leads us closer to Him. Closer to Him. You just look at the lives of the heroes of faith in the Bible. See how each of them, they had to cross their own Red Seas. How each had to press on despite the uncertainty. Abraham had to leave his country to go to a place he yet could not see. Joseph was sold into slavery, and then even after earning his master's trust, he was falsely accused, thrown into prison, but he never lost his faith in God. Job, he lost everything, you know, but he still would not curse God. We like to quote David, close to the heart of God. But do you know his life? When he was a young man, he had to flee from King Saul. When he was elderly, old, he had to flee from his own son, Absalom. But his own faith, his faith remained strong. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because he cried so much for his people. Paul suffered many trials, and he begged God to remove that thorn in the flesh. But God always says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." Yet, when you and I do face that Red Sea, when we do attempt to cross that Red Sea, it is real. We always wonder, Lord, why can't you move faster? Can't you work faster? Can't you just one time blow the water, and then shoo? Why is the east wind blow so slowly all that night? Can't you act quickly? Why do you allow things to drag on for such a long time? Why don't you snap your fingers and all will be well? Instantly. Why don't you take over and reveal your power and might? Show forth your strength that I may testify of your goodness. Like you, I also wonder, why didn't God just miraculously teleport the Israelites into the promised land? That's what God wanted, right? Why go through such a tedious process in raising Moses up for how many years? This one, jialat, we must go back 3 sermons. How many years? 80 years. 80 years before meeting him at the burning bush and for him to lead the people out of Egypt. And then after that, Moses and the Israelites had to wander in the desert for another 40 years before letting them in into the promised land. Why do we have to wait and wait and wait for that miracle to happen? Why does God move so slowly? I found the answer to that in a Japanese theologian, Kosuke Koyama, in his book, 3 Mile an Hour God. He wrote, God walks slowly because he is love. If he is not love, he would have gone much faster. For love has its speed. It is a different kind of speed from the technological speed to which we are accustomed. It is the speed we walk, and therefore it is the speed the love of God walks. While you and I are so accustomed, used to getting an instant response in an instantaneous world, how the Lord moves is actually liberating, radically different. Hear Him, seek Him at each turn and bend, look to Him at each crossroad and obstacle, hear His voice as He beckons us to keep going forward, pressing on. For through trials, we learn to rely on His strength and provision. In life, we know this, right? The closest friendships are often forged through shared experiences. And these shared experiences are not just happiness alone, joy alone. But oftentimes, it is the difficult moments that strengthen our relationship one with another. And so it is also with the Lord. Our difficult moments can strengthen that relationship with the Lord. Not that the Lord is not around in our happy moments, but it's just that our hearts are more close then. We are not ready to receive, to give. It's just not attentive. For life, church, is an adventure with the Lord. We all have our Red Seas to cross. When you cannot see God in front, look behind to find the strength to go forward. Father, we pray that you enable us as a church to recognize, to see, to know your hand of grace and love. In moments where we cannot see you, when tears cloud the vision of the cross, teach us to look behind, to look back at your faithfulness, to find the strength that we need to go forward. Help us to see that through the seasons of life, you have always been with us. You have never left nor forsaken us. So we pray this day that you restore our hearts so that we can cling on to hope. Give us the power to grasp your love. And help us to see that you are God who is and will always be faithful through it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you join me as we stand together in this song of response?